Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come sit right here. And belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Good morning. So we are in Advent. Do you know what that means? What does it mean? What are we getting ready for? Yeah, we're getting ready for Christmas, right? Is it Christmas? No. We're getting ready. How many of you think your house is totally ready for Christmas? Sorta. That's all right. It's only day one of Advent. You don't have to be totally ready. Yeah. And how many of you think Mom and Dad and you have maybe a long way to go? Yeah? Okay, so I was thinking about that today, and do you notice something new in front, right behind me? You should nod and say yes. We don't always have this wreath here, do we? And this is an Advent wreath. Do any of you have Advent wreaths at your house? Yeah, it's a fun, you do? Yeah.
Yeah, we made one.
You made one. Did you make one last week? Good. And so how many candles are in it right now?
One.
And why do you think there's one? Yeah, because it's week one of Advent. It's also December 1st. Yes, it's convenient this year. So it is week one of Advent. And week one, we talk about the word hope. So each of the candles has a word. And this week's is hope. Now, what do you see how I have hope written here? And what's it written on?
A rock.
And I was given this, actually, I was given this by Pastor Michael way back when we were in college together. So I've had it a long time. No, Pastor Michael. Yeah, not your dad. Pastor Michael. So we, now why do you think we would put a word hope on a rock? Yeah? Yeah, it's kind of interesting to think about, huh? Are rocks light or heavy?
Heavy.
And this one's pretty solid. It could, like, be on a paper. It could be, like, a paperweight or something. It could hold a few things down. Hope, when we're hearing Jesus talk about how Jesus will come again and how he will make things new, that's a hope that is solid. Because it's a promise. It's solid like a rock. And we also, in Isaiah, heard about swords being turned to plowshares. Now, do you know what a sword is?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what a plowshare is? Yeah. No, I don't. Every time we read this, I have to look it up. So it's a farming tool. It's part of the plow. And plows, make the earth good for planting. And it's kind of it's the one that does the hardest work. It's the sharp blade. And a little bit later, I'm going to show a picture of what that might look like. But it is turning a sword, which is a weapon, into something that is a tool. So it's taking something that's used to destroy or hurt into something that is for life and growth and food. And I have this other thing here. We've shown you these before, but what is that? It's a cross, but do you see how it has a little bottom here? Yeah, this is a cross that's made out of a shell, a bullet shell that was in a minefield. So this was taken by something that was scary and hard for the people there and turned into a symbol of hope. And that's what Jesus and Isaiah are talking about when we think about Jesus' coming and preparing for Jesus to come. It's that word of hope. And that hope is solid and it is a promise for us, just like it's also a beautiful light on a candle. So our treat, in between services and Sunday school, we're going to read some stories, and our tree, it looks a little empty, doesn't it? Yeah. So we're going to work on that. We have some ornaments to make of hope, and we have some ornaments that have been made before that we will get up there. But right now, we're going to go over, and let's see, can you carry the rock? And can you carry the little cross? Then I have two more crosses. Okay, so we're all going to walk over to the tree together, and we're going to place our symbols of hope either underneath the tree or on the tree. Okay? So those ones that have strings, you can hang on the tree. All right? And what else is this tree missing? Yeah? It's missing the lights. Yeah, I already had someone ask me if we were going to turn on these lights. And we are, if I can find them. Look at that. Yeah, oh, it's on the changing. That's a little distracting. Let's try that. It has lots of choices. All right, so we're going to stand here and we're going to say a prayer together about hope. Okay, you ready? Dear God, thank you for your promise of hope.
Thank you for your promise of hope.
That is strong like a rock. And beautiful like lights on a tree. Be with us this Advent as we prepare for you. Amen. All right, thank you for coming up. You can go back and sit down. I think it's fun to think about images for Advent. There are so many different ways that we can identify with Advent and preparing and with Christmas. Some of them that come to mind might be the decorating, getting that tree up, candles and lights. Snow is particularly relevant this year. Shopping, time with family, maybe a cozy fireplace or music that brings some comfort and familiarity. I know that it's my normal thought that when Advent begins, give me a good Christmas radio station and some hot chocolate and put the lights on the tree, and then it seems like the season of what I remember from my childhood. Now, these are not the images that we heard in Scripture today. In fact, they seem to be almost opposite, and at first glance, they aren't really that comforting. And yet they are the words of the prophets. They are the visions of those who were reaching out to God's people and wanting the people to see and to know and to experience the kingdom of God beyond words. And that is often what we are seeking in Advent as well. So we begin our Advent season with a different image that you may not immediately associate. Isaiah's vision for the kingdom of God is a big and bold vision, one that is not subtle, one that doesn't ask us to sit back by that fireplace and listen, but to get up and see and move and act on what it means to be the people of God. The prominent pictures that Isaiah gives us are a sword and a plowshare. Now, a sword is a weapon of destruction and death, and a plowshare is a tool for farming, an important part of the plow that turns over the earth to make life possible to grow. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not have a sword, and I do not have a plow on my Christmas tree. I might after today, because we do need to consider these powerful images of what it means to enter into Advent and enter into a time of anticipation, of knowing that Jesus is coming. And so I have a photo that I want to share with you. The name of this photo is "Let Us Beat Our Swords into Plowshares." And it's actually a sculpture. It's a photo of a bronze sculpture created by a Soviet artist that someone told me how to pronounce that last night, and I can't do it. It was presented to the United Nations in 1959 by the government of the USSR at the time. Now, this is a man holding a hammer in one hand and a sword in another that he's making into a plowshare. And it's meant to symbolize a human desire to put an end to war and to change, to convert those things that were used for destruction into creative tools that would benefit humans. And the power of this sculpture and the meaning behind it is a very clear, obvious continuation of the image that Isaiah offers us for what it means that Jesus is coming. God will judge the nations, and the judgment will be that wars will cease, that tools used for destruction, death, and devastation will no longer be needed, and they can be turned into tools for life and growth and for recreating an earth where people live in peace. The sword being turned into a plowshare captures the depth of Isaiah's vision for life with God, because that living in the light means that we don't just tuck the sword away or get rid of it for a while, but instead it changes. It's not even possible for it to cause harm anymore. And we enter into the hard work of making it possible for seeds to be planted and to grow so that there is abundant life. Swords into plowshares isn't just an image of our history or of the Bible, but also pretty relevant and recent for today. So our next photo is of an artist in Mexico. Let's just go ahead and go to the next one. Named Pedro. And he is part of a project called Palas por Pistolas. And he's an artist who lives in a city in Mexico that has the highest rate of gun deaths in their country. And he has collected 1,527 guns for this project, and he's melted those guns down into 1,527 shovel heads. And the project isn't stopping there. All of these shovels will be used to plant 1,527 trees throughout the city. So a clear project and work and mission to turn something that was used for death into something that promotes life. Jesus has come and Jesus is coming. And this vision and promise are about life. Jesus in Matthew today tells us that we don't know the hour or the time. And that can be kind of frustrating, and a lot of people try to guess and turn this into a text that means we should be predicting. But the truth is that the hour and the time maybe just aren't that important. What is important is the meantime. These texts from the Gospel of Matthew often get taken to this point of promoting scarcity or even threatening people into believing a certain thing, or taking on a certain action, scaring them of being, quote, left behind. And yet that is not the manner in which Jesus comes to us as God with us. It's not the manner in which we are called to be present in living the gospel of our time. The truth is, we've already been left behind. Jesus ascended and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and so we are not abandoned, but we are given the promises of life. Jesus is talking about what scholars call the parousia, the in-between times, the times where life continues to happen, the washing of clothes, the making of dinner, the going to school and work and participating in community are all mixed into daily life, and there is more, and that more is this calling to live in the meantime, in a time that is also called the golden hour. So the golden hour, that's our next picture, is a term used by photographers to talk about this very brief amount of time that happens as the sun rises before it is fully exposed to the earth, before it's totally experienced. It's that transition time, that little bit of waiting, a moment between night and day. And Jesus says to us to keep awake, watch, and wait, and be about the kingdom of God just as if day were about to break. When I asked preschoolers this last week about what they would do to prepare if they were told Jesus was coming to their house, many of them said they would go get their toys, which is great. And as we were talking, I had this memory of my childhood of sitting in front of this big window waiting for my grandparents to show up. It was always an exciting time watching to see when their car would drive down the street. But then one of the little girls said, "I'm pretty sure my mom and dad would make me clean." I said, "Yeah, that's probably true." She's like, "We'd be really busy." And that reminded me of those bumper stickers. Have you seen? It says something like, "Hurry up, Jesus is coming." It's look busy, that's what it says. Hurry up, Jesus is coming, look busy. Well, from these scriptures, I think we know that the idea is not to look busy or to give some kind of good impression. God knows you, so you can just let that go. The idea is to live into this turning of swords to plowshares, turning guns into shovels, making bullets into crosses, taking action where the world needs you. Keeping watch on things, on thoughts, on places in your life, and then turning them into the solid rock of hope. This sunrise in the Rocky Mountains is a gift of beauty that we have the opportunity to see often if we take it, but we also have the opportunity to live into it every day. There is night all around. There's still wars. There's still struggle, there's still death, there's still pain, there's still grief in all forms. And our call is to know that even as night is there, the light has come, and it is come, and it will come again. And so our lives are commended to that moment of daybreak and that vision of peace in the kingdom of God. So we all have images of Advent and Christmas that we hold dear, and can continue to hold dear. Some from our childhood, some are from Scripture, some comfort us and are waiting and watching at that window, and some call us to live into the golden hours we have been given. As we enter Advent together as a community, let us imagine what it means for us to keep wake and keep watch for Jesus coming, what it means for us to take the swords of our world and turn them into plowshares, what it means for us to live in the moment of daybreak, knowing the vision and promises of God's grace. Amen.